Okay. This is Albert Lee, and I'm interviewing at the residence of 82 Newland Avenue here in Charlottetown, the home of Annette Ling. How are you today, Annette?
Oh, fine. Just great. Nothing wrong. Problem whatsoever.
Good. So you know why I'm here and I'm doing the interview. So briefly, could you tell me how and when you arrived here in Charlottetown? How old were you and what year was it?
Oh, about 21, 22.
Okay. And how old are you now?
Me? I'm 86. I'll be 86 in August.
Okay. And how did you arrive here from Charlottetown? Where did you, where were you before that?
Oh, it was over Halifax and New Glasgow and Pictou-like, and I was partying quite heavy, to tell the truth.
Were you?
So I says, okay, I says, I'm going to the island, pick potatoes in the fall. And I came here and I never went back.
Oh, really?
I stayed on the island all that time.
Yeah, and what did you do when you were in Halifax or New Glasgow?
I worked as a waitress.
Yeah.
In the restaurants, there are a lot of different restaurants, like, you work here and you work there, like, you know what I mean? You might turn and work somewhere, it's okay, I'm going somewhere else for a visit for a few days to another part of the country, like. One time, there was three of us who went to Montreal.
Yeah.
We didn't like it, we came back home.
Yeah, did you work in restaurants in Montreal, too?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for a very short time, enough to make enough money to get back home.
Yeah, how did you travel? Was it by train back then? Or?
Yeah, by train.
So what, did you just earn enough for pocket money and the train ticket?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
If we worked somewhere, so we made enough money to get back home.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd buy a return ticket before we'd leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we were sure coming back.
What, in case you got into trouble and you had to leave town fast?
Yeah, we sure. In case you say, oh, you spend all your money, you're sure of getting home, like.
Yeah.
So we went to Toronto, another trip like that, and we went different places in Nova Scotia, like here and there. And went down to Sydney and then places like which I had never been before. I worked in Sydney for about five months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left there. I didn't like it. I went back to Pictou from the Pictou, Nova Scotia, and I ended up down there.
Okay.
After I had a brother there, so I ended up down there. So
yeah.
I roamed around, and that's it.
Okay, tell me more. How did you wind up with the name Ling? Because I understand that you're also from Cape Breton originally, and you're part Acadian.
I was Landry.
Okay.
That's my maiden name was Landry.
And where were the Landrys from? Where did you grow
they
up?
They were originally traced back to Normandy, France.
Mm-hmm.
They came over with a few years ago, the boats came from France, like, and they ended in Nova Scotia.
Yes.
And they lived with the Indians. They got along great with the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And then the English came along with their big guns.
Right.
And the French all left there.
Yes.
And they all scattered. Some mm-hmm. went to New Brunswick, some went to the island here,
mm-hmm.
some went to Montreal. And if you went in Louisiana down the States,
right.
you would find a lot of Cajun French down there. And they traced their religion, their race, like back to Nova Scotia,
mm-hmm.
to Napa Valley, out in Annapolis Valley.
Okay. That's, and so you're sort of like, what, the Cape Breton connection? Whereabouts in Cape Breton was that from?
Yeah, my parents, my great-grandparents were traced back to Normandy, France.
Yeah, whereabouts in Cape Breton?
River Bourgeois.
Okay.
It's a little French community, like.
Yes.
Yeah.
And where is that near in Cape Breton?
Not too far from Port Hawkesbury.
Right.
But handy St. Peter's.
Okay.
Yeah, about 10 miles from St. Peter's.
And was it a very big family that you had?
Yeah, I was out there. Besides, I had a brother there and had some family, friends there, like old friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there was a lot of people working in the shipyards, like, that came from my hometown, like, and everything. Like, there was lots of people that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed around there for a while and everything else, and that's where I ended up at.
Okay.
That's where I ended up at. I work and everything else up there, and I raised all the family there on Pictou.
In Pictou?
Yeah.
In New Glasgow?
Yeah, not New Glasgow, Pictou.
Okay.
Well, I was in New Glasgow for a short time, but none of my family were born in New Glasgow.
Okay.
They were all born out of Pictou, like.
Okay.
And they all grew up there, like, and then we came back here to this island, back here at the island, and we've just been here ever since.
Okay, so how long have you been here in PEI?
I came here in about 45, I guess.
1945?
Yeah, after the war, shortly after the war.
Okay, and maybe bring me up from when you arrived here in 1945, what happened in your life?
Oh, not too much. I just worked around as usual, like, and getting to know people, like, and everything like that, like.
Yeah?
I was young there, and I didn't care about anything too much.
Mm-hmm.
I was carefree.
Yeah, how did you become a Ling?
I don't know. Well, I married George Ling.
Yeah, when was that?
45, I think 46 was it, 46.
45.
45, but I came to the island in 44 then.
Where did you meet George?
Oh, I was in town here. He was hanging around the restaurants, like.
Yeah?
And he had a... He thought he was treating everybody good, like. He seemed to be a good man. So everybody got talking, like, and roaming around like that, like. So it ended up we got to knowing each other, like.
Did he work or own a restaurant?
No, he had a laundry then.
Oh, yes. What was the name of the laundry?
He's always had the laundry.
Okay, what was the name of the laundry? Do you remember?
George Ling's.
Whereabouts was that?
Sam Lee was the name of the laundry. He bought it off from Sam Lee, and he was running it, so he was George Ling, but he never changed the name on it.
Okay.
So
do you remember what street that was on?
On Kent Street.
Okay.
Across from the bank, Toronto Bank up there, pretty well. Just a little bit down off of the Toronto Bank across the street, 113 Kent.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, when did you get married again? 1946?
Yeah. Well, I think
45.
My children were coming in that it was time for them to go to Sunday school and go to religion and stuff like that. So I decided to bring them up in my own religion, like.
Mm-hmm.
So the Catholic Church didn't accept the Protestant marriage, like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we got remarried again, just for I could bring the children up.
Okay.
To my religion, like.
How many children?
How many? A dozen.
A dozen.
A dozen. He knows.
Okay. What's the name of the Dirty Dozen?
Well, let's see. This started with Doug, Anne, Marie, Susan, Helen, and Peggy,
and
Janie, and Peggy, and Gracie, Linda, Debbie, and David, and Tommy. I had three boys out of that. I had three boys and nine girls.
Yeah, how many grandchildren then with so many kids?
23.
Really?
23 grandchildren. And 20 great-grandchildren.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, that's a few.
Who does the cooking for the family dinners?
Well, they were all here cooking for a Thanksgiving dinner there, Easter dinner.
Yeah?
Thanksgiving and Christmas do the same thing. They all bring something in.
Okay.
And one of them got a home degree in home ec.
Mm-hmm.
So she's usually put onto them to the roast, roasted chicken.
Okay.
Roasted turkey, like, or ham. She generally looks after them things, like. But they all bring in food. They all get in the dishes after work, cleaning and everything, like. It's just a family affair.
Yeah.
And they all get in here playing cards sometimes. Some nights at 1 o'clock in the morning, you hear them roaring and shouting.
Okay.
They're playing cards here. You get 9 or 10 playing cards at this table.
Okay.
They play poker, like, and everything else, so.
Okay.
They get together. They get together as a family.
That's good.
Yeah, one, three, everybody. If one comes home, the rest of them are all there.
Yeah.
But other than that, you don't see them all together too much, except for a holiday.
Okay.
Or when somebody comes home, if they're all there.
Yeah. Do you remember any more, like, from when you first got married and back in the 40s with the restaurant here in Charlottetown with your husband?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of restaurants here then.
Yeah.
There was the Modern, there was the There was the Island Grill, I think, was there, a Chinese restaurant, but there was a lot of English restaurant. They had Old Spain, that was English, and they had another place on Prince Street that was English.
Mm-hmm.
And they had other people in Charlottetown here. It was done by the Island Grill, it was run by English people too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name. Been so long, then the name would come back. I know where they were, like.
Yeah. So did George work or own or have partners at the restaurant? What's the name of it?
No. He had nothing to do with the restaurant.
No.
No money, no.
Okay.
George, the Ling fellows that were here, like, that mm-hmm. had the canton. Well, his father owned a lot of the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
He was bought a lot. And that's the reason why they were deported. Walter Ling was here, Walter Lee.
Really?
So he was here. He came in. Walter Wong brought this young fellow over as his son.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, he went back to the old country and he changed his name from Wong to Lee, his last name.
Okay.
So he married, he brought a wife here, and he brought his father and mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they had three or four kids. And somehow or another, through all the rules and regulations, found out that he wasn't properly entered into Canada. He wasn't an immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
He had just sneaked in.
Okay.
So he had been brought in under a different name, like.
Okay.
So they deported them all.
Really?
Some of them used to say it was for drugs because he had a big Buddhist in his window.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had cigarettes, he'd put one in the Buddhist mouth. If he had no cocaine, the little fellow had nothing in his mouth. That's how the people knew that if he had anything on hand, if the Buddhist had a cigarette, okay, he's got morphine, he's got wacky tobacco.
Yeah.
And if there was no cigarette, well, he's got nothing. He had a great big huge Buddhist in his window.
Really?
Yeah. And with the Island Grill.
Yeah.
And that fellow was deported. For that reason why, that he wasn't properly, he left his name, lost his name, he lost his immigration papers and everything,
mm-hmm.
because he changed his name.
Okay.
So he had built a house and everything, he was doing good.
Okay.
But he brought too many people in, they got caught.
Okay.
Because they wanted to bring them in here as Lee.
Okay.
And they traced back. Well, there's no Lee registered at that time.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody registered as having to come to Canada in that time, but there was a warm fellow. See?
Huh.
That's how he got caught.
Okay.
That's how they got caught, like, and they were all deported, all sent back home to Hong Kong or somewhere.
Really?
Yeah. Now, George Lee, that you had the old canton now, his father died here.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, his mother didn't like it. George Lee's mother was here and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the old lady didn't like it at all.
No.
It wasn't working fast enough for her.
Okay.
It was people in come and go like all the time.
Yeah.
So they went back to Hong Kong. He sold out the restaurant and they all moved back to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he dug his father's grave and took his bones back to Hong Kong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Buried with her father and mother, or his father and mother, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the story on him. But I mean, he was a nice man.
Yeah.
He was a nice man. I remember when George Lee first came to Canada, he had fairly good English. He was going to, there was a high school in Hong Kong, Red and White, isn't he, used to call it?
Mm-hmm.
He used to speak English quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's where he had gotten all his English. And he went to university, I think, for a year, taking certain classes, like, just certain things, like. And then his father was here. His father sold out. And, well, he died here, his father.
When was that?
But there was a lot of them that didn't go past here.
Okay.
A lot of them. There's none of the old crowd left, to tell the truth.
No.
Even in Sprouse.
Yeah.
There's nobody that I can remember that was married to Chinese to still living.
What about when you were You've gone back to Cape Breton in the St. Peter's area. Do you remember any other Chinese families?
Or,
no. No, they're all gone?
They had to go to Sydney for the next one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And at that, they were something, they didn't want them. Somebody got into trouble and they didn't want to rent or renew their rent alike or anything. The same thing happened here in Charlottetown.
Yeah.
They had the Chan boys.
Yes.
Okay, they were selling drugs, and they knew it, and they were caught.
Yes.
So they closed them. They wouldn't give them the grant to reopen business, rent. Okay. The city wouldn't leave them reopen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another restaurant, too, that left Charlottetown at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the second, but they didn't want them. They got rid of one family, they didn't want the other ones.
Okay.
So I don't know. Why was the reason like they didn't want more Chinese people settled there?
Yeah.
But right now there is some now, but in them days they all went.
Around what time was that? Yeah. What year?
Oh, right, there must be about late 50s, early 60s. Yeah. Well, Helen was a baby, was that 68 years ago? Helen was a baby when they were left. She wasn't very old. She was young.
Do you remember when the Chinese wives came here from China?
None of them came here from China.
No?
No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. Not. There was at one time. That was before me. They were on Kent Street and they had a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And going to school. And then they had a little restaurant. If you went in there and you ordered an order of pork chop,
mm-hmm.
he'd send the kids to the store and buy the pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's how poor they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just making enough.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't carry a supply to go in the fridge and cook these pork chops.
What was the name of that restaurant? Do you remember? Where was it?
Wong, I think, was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Wong.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember where it was. It was on Queen Street. Like.
Okay.
Yeah. I know the store is the secondhand bookstore now, where that used to be.
The building store.
Yeah, yeah. I remember all them stories now, and that was, where there was so many of them. There was a couple of fellows had laundry here,
mm-hmm.
and John Ling, and there was the Dominion Cafe were all.
Yes.
There was a Dominion Cafe, was a big place, it was a corner of Kent and University.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big restaurant in those days. And they made their money on booze, too.
Was it?
The fellow would go in there and he'd order a special cup of tea. Special cup of tea.
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, this was, boy, it was 64, 60, about 65.
Yeah.
And that restaurant had a fire, like, and he left. But he had the old boots.
Yeah, what was a special cup of tea?
Okay.
How did they come? How much was it?
I don't know how much, but a special cup of tea, and they served in a special glass, colored glass.
Yes.
Because that was beer in the teapot.
It was in a teapot, was it?
It was full of beer, and they poured in a glass that was colored.
Yeah? You got it anytime you wanted it during the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just about everybody. It was quite a heavy affair in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So would men come in and get it, or women would come in and get it, too?
They would come in and sit at the table. They had their dinner, want something to eat, they sat at the table with their cup of tea, and there was a teapot to pour in the beer and the thing, or the hard liquor too.
Yeah.
To buy the hard liquors too.
Yeah.
And they were served different colored glasses for different type of alcohol or something.
Yeah.
You ordered for something, you serve in a different colored glass for each one, yeah. He ended up in Montreal. He was a... He had a Canadian girl, a girl from town here with him. She was here with him for a long time at the restaurant. And she went to Montreal with us, with a Chan girl. She was, Marie Chandler.
I don't.
Oh, you must know Marie. Worked at Sturge Laundry for years.
I can't think of her. The older ones might remember her.
But she had this one, Flo, I think was her name. She went to Montreal with him. She stayed there forever in Montreal. I don't know whether they're still living now or what. Like, I mean, this was quite a few years back. Like,
yes,
you just think back, all them things happened. There wasn't too many Chinese left here after the 70s.
It was the 70s, eh?
Yeah, they were pretty well all gone.
Yeah.
They all died or moved away, like, and so forth, like. Mm-hmm. But I'm the only family there is around town left that has a spouse from the old people.
Really?
Yeah. The only one, John Ling's got some kids, they're half Chinese, but their mother is dead, like, the mother was English-like.
Yes.
That's the only one, them, the rest of them. Yo's got a few kids, mm-hmm. but their mother and father are gone.
Yes.
Lorna Yo's mother was half Chinese, and she married this English fellow.
They were here on the island?
Yeah, live here on the island. Then two boys are still here belonging to Mona, and then one girl.
Mm-hmm.
But the family is gone, Mona and Donna, Mona and, there was another one of them, they had a clothing store. Their father had a big rock to restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, rock to restaurant. It takes time before things like that come to my memory, because it's been so long back, like, you know,
yes.
You kind of forget that, like,
oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Then you get talking about it, and up it comes, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had the rock, big rock, so you're on University Avenue, almost the old cenotaph, almost up there towards the cenotaph.
Yeah.
It was a big place.
Do you remember any of the food in the Chinese restaurants?
They never sold too much. Chop suey, like, that was the biggest, and fried rice. That was the biggest thing in them days.
So it was mainly Canadian food,
yeah.
Like, for...
The fried rice. Oh, for Canadian food, you had everything, like...
Yeah.
You could buy a steak, you could buy a hamburger, you could buy fish, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of stuff like that. There anything... Yeah, the Canadian people ate, like.
How did you cook your food for your family? Was it Chinese food?
Chinese food for one full meal, anyway.
Yeah, what was that made out of?
Well, it'd be rice and a lot of cabbage, a little bit of pork in it, and cabbages, a lot of cabbage. So slivers of cabbage, like, and make it like that, and rice, like plain rice.
So your husband showed you how to do it?
Well, some of them do, some of them's pretty good at it.
No, yeah. No, he's asking you if Dad showed you how to cook this Chinese food.
Well, they learn by seeing us doing it.
Okay.
That's it, like, you can't do anything every day without anybody learning. That's how I learned to cook.
Yeah.
That's how I learned to do anything, like, because I seen you doing it. Okay, I can do that.
Did you watch them doing it in the Chinese restaurants?
Not too much. At the end of it,
yeah.
The end of it, I watched them cooking it, certainly.
Yeah, so you knew how to make chop suey.
Make chop suey and some garlic ribs, like, and stuff like that.
How do you make garlic ribs?
Garlic sauce and a whole lot of stuff like that. And what they made a lot was a fresh pork.
Yes.
Fresh bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And put in a slice for black beans and stuff like that into it.
Where did you get the black beans?
From Montreal, and then they got most of them. They imported that stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's the same. Right now, they don't make the egg rolls in town too much.
No?
They get them made from away, and it's cheaper and easier.
Really?
They get them frozen. There's a lot of stuff like that.
You know how to make egg rolls?
No. I've seen them made enough, like.
Yeah.
I've seen enough of them made, like. But I never tried making them like
that. Mm-hmm. So what about... Chinese festivals and special events. Do you remember the community when you were growing up and what they did for Chinese events? Say a wedding or something.
Well, they meant with a funeral, and remember going to the graveyard once a year.
Yeah.
And put flowers in and bottles of liquor.
Yes.
And what would there be? Somebody standing behind a tombstone.
Yes.
Waiting for him to walk away to get the fruit and a bottle of rum. But everybody knew it was graveyard time, and they almost lined up there waiting to steal the bottle.
Really?
Hiding behind a tombstone, waiting for it to be over.
Was it always the same person or different people?
All different people. One that knew it was something. Well, yeah. We were there last year. We're going to go this year, right? It kept going down, passed down from generation, like, and people. They knew how much food they put on the graveyard, on the grave, like, and flowers and liquor and everything else like that.
Yes.
Were these local people that were bringing local food, or was it Chinese people taking food back?
No, local people. They'd go home and they'd get drunk after and laugh.
They always knew when it was going to happen, and they'd wait for it.
They knew when they're
yeah.
Well, it was talked about, like, there was a lot of talk about, well, we're going to have the Chinese graveyard, like, and all stuff like that. It was all added on to it, like.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about, like, weddings? Did you go to any big weddings or anything like that?
No, I didn't see any weddings around here too much, like.
Okay.
Not too many. They usually mostly just stay together.
Okay.
Very few of them got married.
Mm-hmm.
Very few. I know the Roxy girl was married. And I don't know about the Chang fellow here, too. They had a little girl, but I doubt that that was married.
They came. But did they have a wedding ceremony here?
No.
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 Yeah.
No.
Yeah, what about, like, with other things as far as, like, other Chinese families? Like, did they come over to visit you, or what would you do?
Not too much. I meet them on the street, like, or around the restaurant like that. But I don't know, it's because I wasn't Chinese, none of them bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
I had no help or nothing from the Chinese people.
No.
None of them came to me and asked me, you want this, you want that.
Mm-hmm.
I made it on my own.
Yeah.
They didn't come to me and tell me, okay, offered their service, like, for something, asked me how I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come to me with them questions.
No.
So I did it on my own. I never bothered with the rest of them.
Okay.
I know them. I speak to them if I meet them. Like, but the young ones, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's still a few old ones. There's one of the Canton Cafe there. Walter, I think is his name. He was George's cousin. And there's a few of them there. If I go in there, I speak to them like a Romaine.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them now. The Rocks are resting, that crowd of people are all gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of them left.
So what did the rest of the community think about a mixed marriage back then? Like,
well,
what was it like going to church?
It was a little rough, like, and cursing and swearing to the kids, like, oh, this and that, like, and fighting with the kids and everything, like.
It was hard for your children?
Yeah, I mean, oh yes, they were picked at.
Yeah.
They were picked at. One of them, one time, they had a skating rink outside.
Yeah.
So this young fellow used to trip her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, this night she got fed up with it. She took right behind him. His door wasn't shut, that she was in that house. Skates and everything on. So she told the fellow what the young fellow had done, was wrong. The young fellow didn't go back skating for 2 weeks. He said, I've always been away to the war. He says, I never had anything to do in his upbringing. Like, the mother always let him do what he wanted. Mm-hmm. But he says, I'm going to clamp down on him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was Susan. She walked both right into that house, boy. No stopping. But he never tried to tip her. After that, he tried to talk to her, like, and be a kind of a friend, on the friendly side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marie had a good answer for some of them, too. So Marie was this fellow used to go around the street, like, and talk to Marie, hit her on the shoulder. Hey, you little chink, like that. So one night, Marie got fed up. So he turned around and used a bad word for his mother. And after that, he never spoke to her. After that, he'd go back to how are you and this and that. But no little Chinamen were picking at her after she used them words, like, the words that weren't fit to repeat. But anyway, she said afterwards, you know, I was kind of sorry that I said that.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, he was picking at me for so long, every time I go down the street, he'd see me and he'd hit me like that, like, not hit, but just touch on the shoulder, like, hey, you little Chinaman, and this and that, like. So this night, she got fed up with it. So she used these words about his mother. and that stopped right there. No more of that. But if the kid, a lot of kids would be picking at the kids, like, outside, like might be there, and they call him names or something like that. I once in a while I go down and I look at the strange kids, the kids around. I said, listen, I said, you go home and ask your father and mother where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, but they know what their father and what them father is.
Yeah.
But I said, how do you know? I said, you don't know where your father came from. He could be anything.
Right.
So I says, you go home and ask your father and mother, mm-hmm. where did their parents come from?
Right.
And I says, and then they may not be as good. They may not know where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
But this, the kids here knows who their father is.
Right.
They know where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
But does your children, your father and mother know where you come from?
Yeah.
So that's the only time I say anything to them, and they disappear. And kids wouldn't come back for a long while after. Because I jumped. I said, listen. And that's what I'd put to them, like. And they sort of, I say, well, that's not going to get us anywhere, it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Once they all, when they got older, they all got into good work and good friends, like. And
yeah.
Friends back from grade one in school. Still friends. Still yeah. see one another, like.
So how was George, like, as far as with the children and their upbringing? Was he around very much?
He never had too much to say. He was around, but he had too much to say.
Yeah.
What he said was growling at them. Chuna makahai.
So you know what a lot of that meant?
Yeah, I know. Not the best friend.
Did he teach you a lot of Chinese? No. Or was it just Chinese swear words?
Well, it's me that tried to learn the kid to say thank you. OJ.
Okay.
I tried it. Anybody come in the laundry business, anybody came in and said something, OJ.
Yeah.
That in the store was the same thing. When the Chinese people give them anything, I always learned them to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But what the old man's words, I knew they're not the best.
Okay.
I know I wouldn't want to repeat them in English, but this way.
Yeah.
But that's what he used, the words he'd use in front of the kids all the time, like, and growling and complaining. And if I looked at you, I was making an arrangement to go with you for the night.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he was, like, you couldn't look at anybody. So, may I just, she'll tell you, and then we never fought. Me and the old man never fought or argued, because it wasn't worth it. If that's what he thought of me, I ignored. Didn't bother me any. But I
think
always...
think that age difference made him jealous?
How old was George when you married him?
He was jealous right from the beginning. Okay. Right from the beginning, I think he was always jealous.
So how old was he, Mom?
Oh, he was up there. Well, he was
when you married him. How old were you and how old was he when you got married?
Like he was up in his 40s, I guess, or close to 50, and I was only 20, 22.
So he's 20 years older than you.
Yeah, we're good 20 years older, yeah. Good 20 years older, like.
What did you see in him?
Oh, I seen him here in Tamworth and Charlottetown, like.
What'd you like about him? I mean, there were lots of other men around.
Well, he was fairly friendly enough, like, and he was fairly friendly-like and treated everybody good.
Mm-hmm.
Till he got long as you were on his side.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the wedding photograph here.
Yeah.
Of the two of you.
Yeah.
That was in Montreal.
Yeah, in Montreal, yeah.
1945.
Yeah, some of that, yeah. That's done of Paul Chan's. Paul Chan took that. Yeah.
What, your minister?
Yeah, the cook, though.
Okay.
The cooking minister.
Paul Chan is Dan Chan, the brother.
Yeah.
Dan Chan owns a restaurant in Summerside.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They have several brothers.
Another Chan, right.
Another Chan.
Okay.
This one minister in Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah. Paul Chan.
Yeah, the Presbyterian church you belong to. Yeah, but that's a...
You must still remember that day?
Yes, it was a little crazy, probably. I don't know. I remember that day. I remember that day. It's a long time ago.
You are very pretty. Huh? And you are very pretty, very beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, you stayed here all this time when you were married.
Yeah.
And your husband just managed to do whatever he did here. And
yeah, whatever he did, he'd go like, and every night he'd be out, I'd be out working, and he'd be roaming around, hanging around the restaurants like, and do their bean sprout and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then he'd be hanging around talking with them, and Mike washing the dishes once in a while, like, or potting and pans, like. He killed a chicken, like, every now and then. It was always him that did that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that he did around the restaurant, like, in the kitchen and everything, like. He was never around too much.
No?
Never around too much.
Well, he was always working.
Well, working just something to do, I guess, just to get away from the house and the kids, I think, I don't know.
Hanging out with the boys, was he?
Yeah. Hanging out with the boys, all right. For my hard earned money.
And so you were telling me earlier, before we started this interview, that he eventually wound up, like, in Montreal?
Yeah.
Okay, when was that and how did that happen?
Well, he ended up in Montreal.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he was getting up in years, and he was getting old timers.
Yes.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd have the Chinese records playing tape and everything over and over, like.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the, there was a room where the bathtub was into that room at one time. It had been just one room.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd have board across the tub, and he had all kinds of machinery and big round things like that. And one with tape on, like.
Mm-hmm.
And I took them off of there when the kids got in the tub. He wasn't too pleased.
Right.
So the next time his check came in, it was all packed and bought from Montreal. I went to work at 12 o'clock. I used to work from 12 o'clock to 8 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I went to work. When I came home, the kids told me he had gone.
Mm-hmm.
He packed his bag headed for Montreal. So for a week or two afterwards, he sent a card down for the kids a letter,
mm-hmm,
to send his check back to Montreal. So I give him the money for an envelope, a bigger envelope, and for to put his stamp on it to mail it to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he was getting more than his old age pension because he had a family to support. He was what they call supplementary.
How old was he then? What year was it?
Jesus, what was that? Right, I was working. Tommy was only small. Tommy was only 5-6 years old now. And he's over 74, 47, I guess, now. That must have been 40 years ago.
I was only 7 apparently,
Dad left. Tommy was only small.
68, I think it was.
Yeah.
I was
about
1968.
Yeah,
Expo.
Okay.
Yeah, counting years now.
Okay.
So anyway, I came home, and he was gone. I sent him his check back and never heard from him. So about 3 months after, he had to reapply to get every year to get that supplementary pay.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't here for them. They, mm-hmm, were sending me letters.
Oh.
Even registered letter, mm-hmm, and I wouldn't even open it. I think, phew, it's off the cupboard, phew, it's off the cupboard.
Yeah.
So finally, they came to my door, and I told them, I said, I haven't seen his check, because you fellow mailed to Montreal somewhere. I says, I don't know where you fellows mailed to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, they wanted this and that, and I said, no, I says, he hasn't been here, I says, for this long.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, he's been hanging around the restaurants, I says, for 5-6 months before that. I says, I wasn't seeing a cent from them.
Mm-hmm.
So they made him pay back, the government on the island made him pay back that supplementary,
oh,
that he was getting. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't giving it to me or looking after the family, he was gone.
Okay.
So, but anyway, he stayed in Montreal then, anyway, so never come back.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen him. Well, he tried to come back right after his check was cut.
Okay.
He came back and he tried the door, front door, and I was just getting in bed at 8 o'clock. The kids had just all left for school.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he tried the hall door, couldn't get anything in there. He went to the back window where I'd be sleeping, scratching on the screen, right? Pay no attention to that. So about 10 minutes after, I heard the front door. Mm-hmm. He had went to the landlord and got the key.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in and he got there, he opened that door where I was laying down. And I says, listen, if I get out of here and put more clothes on me, mm-hmm. I says, you're out the door and I don't open it. You mm-hmm. go through it.
Right.
And he knew I could do it too.
Right.
So that was the end of the last time I seen him.
Did you miss him?
No. He was never home. I worked 8 hours. And a lot of nights I'd go to work at 6 o'clock and work cook before I'd change clothes and go to my night job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I never...
How long were you separated, like, where he wasn't contributing?
Oh, he was... Oh, well, it must have been 4 or 5 years before that, like, that he was really not caring too much. He'd gamble every damn cent he get, like I told you what he did with that money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it went and everything. His check came in, he gambled whatever he wanted to. If he made it, he made it. If he didn't, well, okay. But I never see his checks.
No?
No. I never see them. And there was some money one time of $3,000. And I never seen that $3,000.
Was that the work he did somewhere?
Right.
Was that work he did somewhere?
No. This is... We had a piece of land, like,
okay.
where our rent was, the building we owned. The people next door, their alley was this way, but they couldn't turn to get in the backyard because the corner of our land was affecting that.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold a corner of that land, something like this, so that the truck could come and go around in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But he got $3,000 for that, and I never seen a damn cent of it.
Really?
I found out afterwards that he had got it. So it all went to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a living for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. When he came back after 3 months, I says, go away, don't come back. And that's it, you won't do that to me again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the last time I've seen of him.
Okay.
But no, we never fought with one another or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always trying to find, making things up. In other words, I'll never forget one time, you fellows could remember that, Debbie. We went, Hector and I went to Summerside. A couple of boys took us to Summerside. Well, I had a cousin living out there, so we just had to go find her, like, and Dougie was in Summerside, too. So we went to Summerside with an old car, and two other young boys took us up, my brother Hector and I, and we both had the bottles. We bought the liquor store, was where it's at, but there was a little store there. We couldn't get in there to open it. So Hector says, where's the church? I said, this one up there. So we couldn't get in the Redeemer, Holy Redeemer Church. We sat in the doorstep and had 2 or 3 big drinks of rum before we met the boys and hit for Summerside. And coming back, oh, Jesus, I don't know how far they were, how they knew it. Jesus, we struck a flat. So they pulled up in this government garage, and they stole the wheel off of one of the cars out there and put it on theirs. And there was a dog in the distance barking. So they went back again to make sure that nobody would say, oh, they just came up that way, like. So we kind of backtracked. Hector and I were half asleep there. So when Hector got home, he went out to where the old man was going to share a room. He had 2 beds in that room. He said, you go back and spend the rest of the night with her. You were with her up till now. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning when we got home. And Hector says, he says, if it had been for the kids, he says, I would have thrown him down the effing steps. And if he came up again, I would have thrown him down the second time. But he says, I wouldn't want the children to see me doing anything like that. So he took off. Well, he was thinking, hey, Hector, wait. So I always had a pint of liquor for him and $20. Because he'd come here, he'd have no money. That's before he started getting his army pension and old age pension and things like that. So whenever he left, I always had a pint of rum and a $20 bill. So I give him that, and out the door he goes. But he says, I would have fired him down, But he says, I wouldn't want the kids to see me doing that. And everybody jumped up, two or three that night jumped up at the door, the noise, like, what's going on, what's going on, what's going on? Of course, he wouldn't do that, like, he wouldn't be seen doing anything like that. It wasn't worth it, like, because Hector and I were really close together, like, two of us, one was Dad, the same as the other.
So I guess it sounds like Dad didn't actually appreciate the bond that you and your brother had.
Yeah.
He thought there
but
was...
it would be the same thing with anybody. The same thing. If you go spend the rest of the night with her.
Yeah.
You were with her all this time.
So he believed, I think, that Uncle Hector was not your brother, but maybe somebody
he knew. He knew Hector was my brother, because Hector had been up here two or three times.
Up here, he was thinking not.
Right.
Hector attended every one of the weddings. He come to the honor for weddings all the time. He'd shake over, he'd shake back. Little black, little red box he was carrying with a little red suitcase. And that was it. He wanted to get up there, boy. He had his point to drink on his way up.
Yeah.
And I gave him a lot of one to go back. Like, and I had paid for most of the drink at the party we made out here.
Yeah, I think the tape's going to be out any minute, so... Thank you for the interview. So I'm going to take a few pictures and so on of you, if that's okay.
All right.
Okay. So this concludes my interview with Annette Ling at in Charlottetown at 82 New Lynn Avenue. It's Albert Lee here.